Runtime, written by Catherine Ryan Howard and read by Jacqueline Milne and Kieran O'Brien.
It all started the day of the audition. A TV commercial for Nutraxium, a headache pill that sounded like something that would give you a headache. I was auditioning for the role of Rollerblader, female, 20 to 22, Caucasian, a natural beachy beauty, subtly sexy with a gym-toned body and California cool Gwyneth vibes, who simply refused to let headache pain get in her way. I was none of those things, but I guess that's why they call it acting. The hallway outside the audition room was lined with the usual suspects. Young, fair-haired, willowy white women who had grown up in towns where their beauty was considered exceptional, who had then moved to LA to discover the same face just helped them fade into the crowd. I took an empty seat and surveyed the competition while pretending to read over my lines. Line. About half of the other auditionees were actually in rollerblades or sitting with a pair of them lined up on the floor by their feet. No one was wearing clothes that extended beyond the shoulder or below the knee, even though it was a January day and, for LA, a cold one. Most were lightly tanned and sporting beachy waves. Nearly everyone was sipping continuously from a water bottle bigger than their head. A reusable one, of course. My beach waves were frizz. My skin was the pasty bluish pallor of someone who spent most of the daylight hours inside under fluorescence, and my single-use plastic cup was filled with a sickly sweet, artificially flavoured iced coffee concoction. But casting directors weren't looking for perfect. They didn't know what they were looking for, especially when it came to commercials. Every time I auditioned for one, I saved the description to a note in my phone just so I could compare it to the actor in the finished product. To date, I'd failed to find a good match. And I had a lot of those notes. "They're running behind," the woman sitting opposite me said. "To me," I realized after a beat. She was one of the rollerbladed, absently slicing alternate feet beneath her chair, making a repetitive scraping noise that was already annoying. 90 minutes, the assistant said a half hour ago. I nodded and smiled because I had never been to a single audition where things weren't running behind and because I wanted to discourage a longer conversation. That was when the first call came in. I felt my phone ringing before I heard it, buzzing against my thigh through the fake leather of my fast fashion handbag. The other eyes in the corridor turned towards me. Several signs were stuck along its length, warning, "No phones." I rooted for mine, wondering who was calling me. The pool of potentials was embarrassingly small. I hadn't been at all good at making friends in LA, but I'd excelled at losing touch with the ones I had back home. My guess was that it was someone from work, wondering if I'd swap a shift. They all knew I was good for it because I was never going anywhere and never doing anything. But the number on screen started with the country code for Ireland, and the numbers that followed it told me the call was coming from a mobile. The fact that I was looking at numbers at all, and not a name, told me that the mobile belonged to someone who wasn't in my contacts. Someone I didn't know. Or didn't want to know. I kept my breath steady, told myself not to over.